Our first season as PCMS, which was 1986, we added the Juilliard Quartet and the, I believe it was the Ramirez Quartet, wasn't it, Philip? Yeah. Yes. And we had 7 concerts, and they were sold out. In fact, that season, we sold out the series, and we turned down around 200 ticket buyers. So it was sort of a pivotal point for us. What do we do? Do we repeat the concerts since we don't have enough space to handle the large audience that we had that obviously was interested? Or do we have different concerts? And it was our feeling that the cosmopolitan thing to do would be to give Philadelphians a chance to hear other artists who normally don't appear in a place like Philadelphia. So we expanded from 7 to 10. Then we went to 13, then to 16, then to 21. We started adding different series, the piano series, the vocal series, the wind series, string series, and then we had some extra events. In fact, in the early days, we had a jazz series. One of the criteria that we established for what we wanted to do or present was, is it being done in Philadelphia? Should Philadelphia have it? So in those days, even though there was plenty of jazz around Philadelphia, there wasn't a concert form as there is now. So we had a jazz series. And then when the Kimmel opened, they were really doing a lot of that, so it made no sense for us to continue to do that because there was a good venue doing that.
Just touching on the founding again, this really all came about because of Tony, a lifelong Philadelphian, someone who at the time PCMS was founded really was acutely aware not only of what was available in other cities, but also what Philadelphia lacked. And at the time, in the 1980s, groups like the Juilliard Quartet and the Beaux-Arts Trio, who perform regularly in most musical capitals, had not had an opportunity to perform in Philadelphia for many, many years. Tony had been presenting the musicians from Marlboro Concerts and had added a few concerts to that, but still there was this really glaring gap in the musical life of our city and the Philadelphia region generally. And so in 1986, the PCMS was separated from Marlboro. It was separately incorporated as the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society. There was a small group of very devoted music lovers at the time who were regularly traveling up to New York or down to Washington to hear these wonderful ensembles and who appreciated the opportunity to have something that would be consistent and reliable in Philadelphia to make these artists available.
I think there were several things that were kind of missing from the Philadelphia scene. For instance, the composers. I went to St. Paul in Minneapolis a few times and a few trips, and I noticed in that that's a wonderful area, and they have a lot of things going for them. There's a chamber orchestra, there's a Schubert Club, and there's, of course, the Minnesota Orchestra. And they commissioned composers, the Schubert Club does, and I saw a lot being done for composers, and that's one aspect that Chamber Music Society tries to take care of. And then there are this whole group of artists who are wonderful artists but are not megastars, so to speak. You know, they don't have worldwide reputations, but as artists, they're really superb and as good as anyone. And the city had not had a chance to hear many of these people. One of the reasons is that, again, the venue. There was only the large. There was the Academy of Music, and very few people nowadays. I don't think there isn't anybody that really can fill that kind of space.
Just commenting on the mission. The mission we set forth today really is the same that we started with in 1986. It really hasn't changed much over the years. While Tony had very broad international musical contacts, he also had a very common touch. And I think we've always wanted to make our music as accessible as possible to people from all walks of life, from all ages, from all backgrounds of diverse populations. That really has been an integral part of the mission from the outset. And toward that end, we started PCMS with a goal of keeping our budget down to a minimum and passing along those savings in the form of low, affordable ticket prices. This year, for example, on subscription, tickets cost just $18 to $22, $24 for single tickets. And these are for artists who sell at ticket prices 2 to 3 times that much in New York. So the mission was always a 3 or 4 part mission, that we wanted to present the world's leading artists, the most respected musicians from around the world to bring them to Philadelphia for their only Philadelphia appearances. We never wanted to duplicate what any other organizations were doing in town, but to fill a variety of musical needs, to bring in chamber music ensembles that Philadelphia audiences had never had an opportunity to hear or had not for many years, to bring in a whole generation of wonderful piano and string recitalists, of a lead series of great singers, woodwind artists, and new music.
When you sit down to program a season, how do you put together a season in terms of what music's going to be played, what types of concerts you're going to be having, whether they're going to be quartets or recitals, or what's your philosophy? Do you have a certain philosophy as to what you want to have, or how you want to shape a season?
Well, basically, the series of chamber music is about 24 concerts, although in some other series there are chamber music concerts. But the basic chamber music series, which I think is the largest in the country, we will establish that each year we'd like to have two or three groups from Europe, one or two debut groups, and young people. When I say new groups, I mean people who haven't played in Philadelphia, while a debut group might be a young group. And then alternate some of the world-famous quartets, and we try to diversify that as much as possible.
And do you select the program, or do they select the program?
Our policy is to have the artists select the program. In fact, you know, sometime we will have a situation where two artists select the same work. We're not bothered by that at all, and we find that our audience actually likes that very much. We actually did a survey one time, and if it's a great piece of music, to hear it twice in one year is not such a sacrifice, I don't think.
Audiences are very interested in hearing multiple interpretations of a great piece, and most great repertoire can take that, can be played in very different ways, and yet both ways seem legitimate. And with artists who are among the top in their field and really have something important to say, a piece can be played much differently than another group would do it, but still very convincingly.
And very sophisticated audience.
I would say about the community aspect, that PCMS really was formed to serve the communities. And by that, the Philadelphia community, the community of audiences here, and also the musical community, artists who are very interested in presenting serious repertoire, new music, special programs, and have not had much of an opportunity to do that, certainly not here in Philadelphia, that PCMS was formed to give them a voice here.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.